But in Matthew chapter 8, continue to work our way through the book of Matthew. I'm going to preach something today. I'm going to call it the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse number 23, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. That's amazing to me. They knew these men were healed. These two men were healed of devils. I'm laughing myself when I just said mans. They knew these men were healed. And the whole city knew it. It was such an amazing feat that they came out to see Jesus. And once they saw him, they said, go. We don't want to see you. The same one. I mean, I get that. These men were possessed. Nobody could pass by the way. And then all of a sudden, after this, once they see Jesus, they don't want him. Chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. And I plead for your help, that you will somehow work through me, that every soul that hears this message will hear from thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What amazing passage in the Bible, as everyone is, and we see probably four different manifestations of the power of Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes mentally or physically, first thing I want you to notice is, number one, Jesus showed that he had power to save men from the storm. Jesus showed that he had power to save men from the storm. In verse 23, you know the story, there was a great tempest in the sea, and we see this storm was very real because they woke up God for this. They were discouraged. They were afraid. Put this three things about the storm. The storm was real. The effect of the storm was real because the Bible says in verse number 24 that insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. So this is a pretty severe storm. The waves are actually covering over the ship, and the fear was real because they said, save us, we perish. They're looking for a salvation from God, and they're really crying out, Lord, we're really going to die in this. So Jesus, he manifested his power to show that he had power to save men from the storm, earthly situation in life. Number two, under the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus showed that he had power to save men from Satan. Jesus showed that he had power to save men from Satan. Looking at verse 28 again, it says, "And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devil besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he heard, and he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out of the swine, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Now, three different things under this when Jesus showed his power to save men from Satan. Number one, the devils acknowledged the authority of Jesus, because they're speaking to Jesus, and they recognize, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" So the devils recognize who's in authority. You know, we don't need to give too much credit to the devils and Satan himself. That's what the Bible says: fear God and keep his commandments. And that's why in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 13, it says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and him be your dread." We don't need to fear Satan or the things that we have. We don't boldly approach him, but we boldly obey the Lord, recognizing that even if Satan attacks, God has authority over Satan, so we don't have to be afraid of what he does. We just fear God, and somehow we know that even in conflict with Satan, we know God's going to take care of this. Number two, the devil acknowledged the coming time of complete destruction by Jesus. The devil acknowledged the coming time of complete destruction by Jesus, because they asked Jesus in verse 29, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Are you here? Even the devils, isn't it amazing? You know, even the devils recognize there's going to be a time when Jesus utterly destroys them and torments them and has complete victory over them. And it's a shame that how Satan often messes with our mind, and we cower in fear of him and his adversaries and the power that he manifests in this world, when in reality the devils themselves know that Jesus wins. You know, I always think back to in the Old Testament when God had freed his children from the Egyptians. And when they're first getting ready to go into the promised land, they were afraid, but they turned back against God because of their fear. And the Bible says that even the enemies of God at that time, their hearts trembled as they knew of their God. And they wandered for 40 years, and their enemies already knew. Their Bible says their heart melted because that God, they knew they feared God more than his own people did. So number three, under Jesus showed that he had power to save men from Satan. The devils acknowledged that where they go is limited by the power of Jesus. The devils acknowledge that where they go is limited by the power of Jesus. Because they asked him, in verse 30, verse 31, "So the devils besought him." That means they pleaded when they begged of him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." You know, we know that if you cast us out, this is what the devil is saying to Jesus: we have to go. That's what the Bible says: resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We submit to God and resist the devil. He has to flee because that's under the authority of God's word, you know, and he can't contradict that. And so this is happening, going on. And so they pleaded with him. So the devils besought him, "If thou dost cast it out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." We don't have any authority to be any place except where you tell us to go. That's exactly what the devils are saying to Jesus. And what a marvelous recognition of the power and majesty of the Son of God, and we recognize that. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 just for a moment. We see Jesus, even when he's being led to go out and be tempted by the devil here, it says, Matthew 4 And verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And the reason I read that is because we need to recognize sometimes when you're following God, that these attacks from Satan, God leads you into that situation to be tempted, to be attacked by him, so that you can actually show the power of his word, so people can see the reality that God really has this authority. Had these two men not been possessed of devils, we would not know the power of Jesus Christ to simply cast out demons and send them into a herd of swine. We see the power of our Savior as he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness for the sole purpose to be tempted of the devil, so that we can see that in the face of the devil, the power and the authority is simply based upon that which is written. Because Jesus answered his temptations, he answered his accusations, and he just simply said, it is written, it is written, it is written. So the power of Jesus Christ is manifested. Jesus showed that he had power to save men from the storm. Jesus showed that he had power to save men from Satan. In Matthew 9, back where we started, Jesus showed that he had power to save men from sickness. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, that's good news, if you know you got a sin problem. And they brought him to Jesus because he was sick, you know, and I wonder, and I think of that good, be of good cheer, why he said that first, if you're on potentially what you might think your deathbed, or you might be sick of something, it'd be good to know that your sins are forgiven. It'd be good to know when you're getting ready to meet God that you don't have to meet him as your judge for your sin. You can meet him as your father and savior. And so Jesus said, be of good cheer, thy sin be forgiven thee. Because he's not speaking to the crowd here. He's speaking to the man. You know, and behold, verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given said power unto men. So Jesus showed that he had power to save men from sickness. You know, throughout the word of God, we see people brought to Jesus Christ in situations that no man could help with. And God wants us to know the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And when we see that and we believe that, we can actually trust God to do the things in life that he really wants to use us for. And this all comes down to the last of all, if you think about the power of Jesus Christ, everything that he manifests. You know, I was thinking about this as I read through this passage, and it's really been a blessing to me to teach through the book of Matthew, because, you know, Jesus manifests his power in our lives in many ways. And for me, I can always look at it for a variety of reasons. I like when he blesses in my personal life and meets my needs. And I like when he heals me of something. I like when he gives me strength or power to do something. But I was thinking each one of these manifestations, his disciples were with him walking. They were going through the storm with him. And the storm was so bad that the waves were covering the ship. That's a pretty serious storm. Jesus, with his word, takes care of the storm. Then we see men possessed with devils. And if you think about in this world today, demonic possession is something that scares just about anybody. It makes people wonder, makes people afraid. And it is something that men in and of themselves have no answer for. And Jesus takes care. He heals people of demonic possession. And then there's sickness. And there's certain, you know, if you've ever been, you know, there are certain sicknesses, like even just a virus. You know, if you go to a virus that, like a cold virus that's not life-threatening, you can go to the doctor and you can take whatever you want to take, but what the end result is, they'll say, this thing just has to run its course. And what they're saying is there's basically nothing that we can do to make this leave you any faster. It has a period of time it runs through you, and when it's done, it's done. But Jesus showed that he had power and authority over sickness, and he speaks to the man because the whole purpose of all the manifestation of the power of Jesus Christ is found in verse number 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. So last of all, Jesus showed that he had power on earth to save men from sin. Now, I say it like that because that's the way he said it. Because in verse 6, reading it again, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth. Because we walk in a situation, if you watch any news at all this week, you heard of some things, some situations that were caused by the sins of men. And we either responded to it in one or two ways. The disciples were helpless in the storm. The people were helpless against Satan. The people were helpless against the sickness. And they were also helpless against sin. But Jesus was the answer for absolutely every one of those situations. So I'm convinced that Jesus wants to work in your life to rescue you from the storms, those things that are covering your life, like the waves in the ship that you can't do anything about. I believe that he wants to save you if you are in a conflict with Satan right now, and he wants to bring you victory over that. And if you're battling some type of sickness, I believe that Jesus wants to also free you from that so that you have strength, power, and energy and passion to go forth into this lost and dying world and say, there's an answer for that. His name is Jesus. And because if not, we just begin to look at the world and think of how bad it is, and we just complain about circumstances. You know, I think of all the things right now that are kind of reviving themselves, like murder and racism, and as if there's no answer for those things. You know, there's a reason that I'm not racist today. His name is Jesus. Because, I mean, I tell you, when I was a kid, and even in grade school, I'd fight kids. I remember sticking one kid's head in the sink and running water on it because he used the N-word, as we say. And I was proud of it back then, you know. And now I think of other people, other situations that in my life that I wish that if I had not been born again, I just wonder if I would have even killed somebody by now because of the way my spirit was in that situation. But Jesus saved me from those things. So now I look at murderers. I look at fornicators. I look at adulterers. I look at sodomites. I look at proud people. I look at angry people, bitter people, jealous people, envious people. And I say, you know what? The Son of Man hath power on earth to save them from that. And I can look back. The reason I can have confidence that, you know, I've had some storms in my life that Jesus has taken me out of. I've had some conflicts directly with Satan. I've had Satan take me into darkness and to where, I've had moments of such deep depression. That I just can't even amazed by it. I thought that once I was born again, I never would think thoughts of suicide before. But I've had some of those dark moments, and I'm talking about after preaching some great meetings and having things go well, such darkness come over me, and I feel like there's no answer, and thoughts flood my mind. You know, you just need to end your life right now. And I thought, where in the world did that come from? Well, it was from Satan. And thank God Jesus delivered me from those things. And even sicknesses, God, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, my body is still functioning, different pain, the things I thought were taking me down to the end. He rescued me from those things. And so now I have a vision and a passion. I see, you know what I see? That the Son of Man hath power on earth to save, power on earth to forgive sins. When sin is forgiven, that's because the penalty has been paid for it. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, you know, he was working with his disciples here so they would have a vision and a passion. Because guess what? Every sin they saw manifested and done, the same was, we see it today. There's unspeakable murders. I mean, I think of, there's times in the Bible that talks about people ripping up women with the children inside of them. everything you'd imagine. There are people. There was rape back then. There was murder back then. There was homosexuality back then. There was fornication back then. There was adultery. There was stealing. You just pick the sin. It was all there. I mean, the bestiality. You know, I mean, if it had to be written in the book of Leviticus about these things, about a man lying down with a beast, I mean, we don't even hear much about that. But this was taking place in the times of the Bible, and it's still taking place in other countries. You know, I know different military men that have traveled and talk about different things that that they saw in different countries. And all this is happening, but at the same time, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know, and Satan really doesn't want you and I to know that, because he would rather you and I just accept the grace of God for ourselves and condemn everybody else that's out there. Instead of saying, you know what, as bad as that is, Jesus paid for that. You know, that's a high price. Yeah, he paid for that. Jesus has something so valuable that it could pay for any and every sin that ever has been committed and ever will be committed. It's his own blood. The blood of God paid for the sins of the world. One of my favorite songs is that he takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And thank God he does. Amen. And because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want to point out something in this passage that, again, looking at verse number 9, I mean, let me ask this before I do it. Has God ever done something for you you couldn't do for yourself? That's half a person, but just think about it for a second. You don't have to answer audibly. But if God's ever done something you can't do for yourself, that's the power of Jesus Christ. And he did that because he wants you to know that he has power on earth to forgive sins. If not, if we lose sight of that power of Jesus Christ, then we just begin surviving and just trying to make it and just trying to do what the world does, is get to the next level, get to the next possession, get the next amount of money, and look at how miserable the world is. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, every sector of society, just nothing that drives them and gives them any hope and any passion or any vision, you know, except but temporal things that don't last, you know. And the word know means to perceive with certainty. The only reason I can continue doing what I'm doing after all these years is that I know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I know that. I understand that with certainty. It doesn't happen as often as I like to see it, but I water or I plant and the increase is up to God. I'll never know the number of people that have had their sins forgiven by simple faithfulness and simple dropping tracks in different places and talking to people about Jesus Christ. You know, I thought to myself the other day, I gave a lady a track, and before I could even leave, I saw it in the bin with the dirty dishes. She'd already thrown it away that fast. You know, she did accept the tip though for some reason. But I thought to myself, I've heard stories of people that they see gospel tracks and they pick them up and they wipe them off and they take them and read them. They see that, and I thought to myself, God could take that very one, toss so quickly, and somebody else grab that thing and clean it off and read it for themselves and get saved and born again. And it means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to have a clear perception of truth. We're talking about the word know, a clear perception and certain perception of truth, facts, or anything that actually exists. You know what? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive sins actually exists. You know, and if God's people would just believe this, who was it? Where did I hear this? I think it was at the camp meeting. Pastor Wash said something that I never heard it before, but I thought, man, that makes good sense. You know, how people say that when they feel like they've had a bad sin life, they say, I have to learn how to forgive myself. And he said, you'll never find that in the Bible. And he said, what you have a problem with is accepting God's forgiveness. Because I was talking with a man at the church, I said, what has to happen is I have to value or fear God, which means respect, value God's opinion of my sin more than my own opinion of my sin. And many times the reason we struggle with forgiveness is because, if I have struggled forgiving myself, I'm minimizing the reality of the blood of Christ. And sometimes the reason I want to do that, if I want to think that something that I did is so big and I have struggled with my own forgiveness, that gives me justification not to forgive somebody else. Because if I don't let go of my own, then that gives me a kind of a framework not to let go of somebody else's. But if you think about it, if God said it's forgiven, it's forgiven. And we have to take his word for that. And when we believe that the Son of Man hath power on earth, anybody living on earth today? Okay, well, praise God. Man. I found out somebody's awake for sure, amen. So that means on earth right now, think of the worst thing you read in the news this week done by somebody. Number one, first of all, whether or not we think that person deserves forgiveness, the Lord Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for the sins that person committed. They can be forgiven. And that person can be used for the glory of God. Because every time, almost every one of these situations we read about Jesus manifesting his power is a situation that no man could do in and of himself. When he calmed the storm, they said, wow, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Now think about this, the winds and the sea obey the Lord when he saved the men from Satan. I mean, this is, as we already talked about, this is rather amazing. These men had such power that the liberty of every, this is good to note, by the way, in verse 28, it says, no man might pass that way. Because of the power and influence of Satan in the lives of these two men, the liberty of everyone was limited and restrained. Because the Bible says, no man might pass by that way. And it seems like certain time by what's going on in the wickedness of the world that the liberty of us is actually restrained when what just needs to take place is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be manifested in that situation. So Jesus showed the power to save men from Satan. A society helpless to change. Sickness came. We have a society, there's certain situations, society that men do not have an answer for, but Jesus does. And he has the power to save men from sickness because in closing, he wants you and I to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has the power on earth to save men from their sin. That's why we go out and try to preach to anybody that's willing to listen. That's why we go out and even talk to people that don't even look like they want to listen. You know, if you really are a child of God, you should be encouraged that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive men from sins. Because that's the whole hope of our eternity. Everything we rest in, believe in, is because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, I'm thankful for passages like this in the Bible. Because even I myself, I notice how easy it is for me to get hardened toward what's going on in the world. It's easy for something to rise up in me and think, man, that person deserves to have this. That person deserves to have that. So easily forgetting the grace of God that saved me. Because you do understand that for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself. And many times after salvation, people give up on God because they begin to struggle, they begin to stumble. And many times that happens because, you know what? It's funny, after salvation, it's easy to forget that we're saved by grace. And so we have to struggle through some things sometimes to recognize that we're not kept, that we are still kept by grace, that not of yourself. I know for me, God had to humble me, and he's still working on humbling me so that I recognize that the power and the authority and that governs my life and enables me to do anything at all that pleases him is not of myself. Just like the salvation is not of myself, is of him. And as I rest in that, then I simply recognize God speaks to me. And when I obey him, then things work in my life the way they should. I was talking to a young man last night and sharing with him, you know, the buzzword for life is called balance. I don't believe in balance. I believe in obedience, because if I'm in tune with God and I obey him, then my life will be what it's supposed to be. But when I think of balance, that means I'm trying to juggle these things, and I'm trying to work this out, and I'm trying to figure this out. If the Bible says, and what should we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God, how do I find that out? I have to ask him. I have to ask God. I have to read his word. And then as I obey his word, I was talking to Mark Bradshaw last night, and we were texting back and forth, and I was telling him I'm reading this book right now called The School by Andrew Murray called The School of Obedience. I've had the book about 6 years, and I picked it up several times, and I could never finish it and never got far in it. Finally, I lost the book, and I downloaded it on Kindle to read it. Finally, and now I can't put it down. And I told him, I guess I wasn't ready to be obedient back then. And he points out some very good points. And actually, I've stopped several times of reading it, not this time, not because it lost my interest, because he said, don't open the Bible unless you have a, he needs to be careful to open the Bible without a sincere desire to yield and to obey everything that God wants you to do. And he asked this question, how is it that we've become to think it's pious or religious or spiritual? That's what it means to read the Bible and read God's word with no real intention of actually doing what it says. And that's why I believe Christianity is struggling. Because I stopped. In fact, I was on this one chapter like 3 days because I kept asking myself, Lord, really, am I really ready to obey all that you want me to do? Because I'm saved and you're taking good care of me, but Lord, I don't want to just go through this anymore. I really want to be an obedient servant. And it doesn't do me any good to read more instruction or read more about you if I'm not going to obey what you've already told me to do, you know. And God spoke to me about some specific areas of my life, and by the grace of God, I let them go. But it's hard. And, you know, God spoke to me really realize, you know, he said, love not the world, neither thing to be in the world. And he began to reveal to me how much I really do love the world and things that are in the world. And those things were interfering with my vision to believe that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Because if I'm not in obedience, I don't feel any victory. I think about King Saul. He was the king. And the Bible says, when thou wast little in thy sight, God did all these wonderful things. God put him on the throne. And here he is on the throne, the king, afraid of a little ruddy boy youth named David. Of all the days of until Saul's death, of all that power and that authority, he was afraid of someone. Now catch this now, this is amazing. He was afraid of someone that all he wanted to do was honor him and help him. And it's all because he lost that mark of obedience. And that someone that only wants to help you and I and to bless his name is Jesus. And it's amazing how that when I'm exalted, when I'm no longer little in my sight, I see Jesus as he approaches me as a threat to me. I see his will as a threat to me. I see his word as a threat to me. I see his people, his children, as a threat to me. Instead of those things that God has placed in my life to actually bless me and to support me and to do what he really wants me to be. It's an amazing thing. I was going through something one time and I was thinking about how I actually preached somewhere. And somebody said something. They said something really positive about the preaching. And because I was King Saul walking in partial obedience, I thought to myself, oh, they're patronizing me. They don't really mean that. Yeah, they're just saying it because they're trying to be polite. I got all these, you know, it's funny when you're not in obedience, even compliments, you can't even be blessed by a compliment. You know, and I thought to myself, oh Lord, have mercy, help me, you know, and I realize now that it's all tied to just a lack of simple submission to God. But has God ever healed you of a sickness? Has God taken you through a storm in your life? Has God taken you through some situation where you know that if it wasn't for him, you would have did exactly what the devil wanted you to do? Has God brought you to any victory at all in your life like that? And if he has, he wants you to know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive men from their sins. I think of the dark times that God has brought me through and the amazing power of the manifested hand of God. And you know, God can do that in every single believer. And that's what he wants you to do. And he's such an amazing God. He works in your life and my life in so many amazing ways. Just a simple thing, just like the things Carl shared. I was just helping him on the job and giving perspective to ask God for wisdom. The little daily thing that God takes you through all the time, you know, and God helps us with even what we would think to be trivial. God works in those little circumstances so that you and I will know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive men from sins. So that we can, when he says, when we get into Matthew, and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we'll believe, yes, we can do that. The reason we can go do that, because the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive men of sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house. I thank you for the fact that you have power on earth to forgive sins. And oh Lord, I thank you for saving me, forgiving me of my sins. And I thank you for just the privilege to be one of your servants. And Lord, I thank you that in spite of me, I have seen how your grace has sustained me. I thank you for just the marvelous hand that you have in our life. And I thank you for all the power that you really have. Basically, Lord, you have power over absolutely everything that takes place in this world. Help me to be an obedient servant, to walk in your will, so that whatever circumstances come my way, as you manifest your power, I will recognize that you are building my faith, that I might believe that someone else that the world says is unreachable, someone else that the world says is unchangeable, someone else that the world says cannot be helped, I will believe with full faith and full passion that you, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have power on earth to forgive sins. And I pray that will be the faith of the First International Church and every single believer that walks the face of the earth. Thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you for rescuing me again, and thank you for saving my soul. And thank you for just you being God and you being God alone. In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask all these things.